The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Brian Fancher of KLMJ Radio in Hampton and Terry Quick-Massey of Successful Farming. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thanks. I wanted to ask you, first of all, give us an update, if you can, on the situation with the possibility of the partial government shutdown and where we stand with that right now.
I don't think I'm going to be able to answer your question until sometime Thursday, and hopefully it's Thursday and not Friday, because, you know, midnight Friday is the deadline. And all I can tell you is there's one sore point, as far as I know, and it's whether there's going to be $1.3 billion for starting on a wall, or whether it's going to be $5 billion that the president wants. And it's kind of odd that either figure is an issue, because back in February, 45 of the 49 Democrats voted for $25 billion. So what's the big issue now over 1.3 versus $5 billion? I don't get it. But that's the only sticking point that I know of. If there's others, they're very minor, and there could be another 100, because when you get down into the weeds and you look at little issues that are going on, I'm dealing with 4 or 5 of them, but they aren't worth talking about, and they aren't the ones that are going to shut down the government. Terry?
Yes, Senator, you voted against the farm bill after a great deal of work on it. Would you like to explain your stance on that?
Of course I would. First of all, before I answer your question, can I go back to Brian and supplement what I just said?
You sure can.
because it makes it sound like I'm nonchalant about shutting down the government. One time in about 96 or 97, I kind of thought it was a good idea. I was part of shutting down government for a short period of time. But I found out it costs money to shut down government, costs money to open up government, and I don't consider it the right thing to do. If it happens, it happens. Now, for your question about the farm bill and my no vote, it may sound in some respects like I think that Senator Roberts is not a good chairman of the Ag Committee. He's a very good chairman of the Ag Committee, except for the issue that I'm involved in, and maybe my considering him not fighting hard enough for it, but under circumstances where I understand where maybe he didn't back me on this, he wrote a very good farm bill. And I can say the same thing for Stabenow, the Democrat on the committee. It's very bipartisan, as the final vote was very bipartisan. But my vote was no for a small reason compared to the whole bill, but a big reason in my mind, because they left out something I've gotten through the United States Senate 2008, 2014, 2018 farm bill to limit what one farmer can get from the farm program and limit it to one manager per farm, and to make sure that that manager is what we call under the law actively engaged in farming. And it was left out. And I think if there would have been dozens of reasons to vote for the farm bill, but I think if I voted for the farm bill after the third fight I got getting it through the Senate, and then it got cut out in conference, nobody would take me seriously in the future about targeting the farm bill towards medium and small-sized farmers, and in turn not subsidizing big farmers to get bigger, and not creating a situation where big farmers can outbid young and beginning farmers on cash rent land, so it's difficult for young and beginning farmers to get started. You see three reasons why I voted that way, and I wanted people to know I was very sincere about it. Back to Brian.
Senator, can you bring our listeners up to date on where we're at with the First Step Act and how that's playing out?
Yeah. We'll have a vote at 5:30 today. It takes 60 votes to get the bill up and to limit debate. I think we'll have the 60 votes. I think we'll have more votes than that. But we do have some Republicans gone today, maybe 4 or 5 gone, so that may hurt our efforts to get to 60, but we got to get to 60 or we don't go any further. And then it'll be up for debate and probably get finished either Tuesday night or Wednesday. and three amendments by Cotton, and I believe those will be the only amendments that we'll have. And I think defeating those amendments should be easy, but I'm not going to say they're easy because they may be some people that are for our bill would still support his amendments. But it's my goal to defeat the amendments. Terry?
Yeah, and more on the farm bill here. There have been changes made to CRP. Are those changes going to open up some grazing land by making it more competitive or by allowing grazing of CRP lands?
I don't want to guarantee it would be open up for grazing, but from this standpoint, I believe that there's two or three things in the bill that correct some wrongs that were in the 2014 Farm Bill. Number one, the government could easily pay a lot more under the bill for land being put in CRP than a cash renter could, and you could put in whole farms. And when you can put in whole farms and you can outbid, the government outbids family farmers to rent the land, a lot of people were shoved off their land. I think two things. I think it's going to be more difficult to put whole farms in, and the cash rent that the federal government pays will be, I believe, 80% of the average cash rent for a particular state or part of a state. So that should mean that farmers that want to rent to other farmers won't be enticed into not renting to other farmers. And then the other thing is, by putting whole farms in, sometimes you don't put in the most environmentally fragile land, and by putting high productive land in, you aren't getting the most bang for the taxpayers' money. So we want to help the environment as much as we can. It should be targeted towards environmentally fragile land. Brian?
Senator, give us your priorities for the Senate Finance Committee in 2019. What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah. Well, let me start out with something I probably can't accomplish, but it ought to be at the top of our agenda, but I don't think the Democrat House will want to do it, and that's making permanent last year's tax bill, which you know has a sunset of 2025. So doing that would bring certainty to it. Beyond that, we're going to have a lot of trade agreements if the president keeps negotiating as he's doing right now. And we have jurisdiction over trade, so getting those trade agreements through the Senate would be probably one of our busiest jobs that we have this year and next year. And then in health care, I would emphasize rural health care and making sure that we have a very convenient and high-quality delivery of health care in rural America, where it's difficult because we have so many older people to get it done, and then lower prescription drug costs. Do that mostly by increasing access to generics, and then we have a lot of health care consolidations, hospitals going together, or pharmaceutical companies buying, or retail pharmacies buying health insurance companies, or maybe doctors becoming employees of hospitals. That's an increasing thing, to make sure that health care is still very competitive. And then finally, with the waste that we have in Medicare and Medicaid, I expect to keep an active group of staffers on our investigative committee going after fraud and waste of taxpayers' money. Back to Terry.
Yeah, Waters of the U.S. The ag community got pretty excited that that rule might change. Where exactly is that, and are we really going to see some changes in that definition?
Yeah. Well, it's not in the Congress, thank God. We might have a difficult. So under existing EPA law, the agency has the authority to write regulations in this area, and so they're withdrawing the president's Obama's regulations that would have had the federal government have control over about 97% of all the land in Iowa. In other words, you would have been farming, you would have had to ask some federal bureaucrat or study some federal regulation to know exactly how to run your farm. And we don't want the federal government that involved in agriculture. So basically, they're going back to a more reasonable approach to when water that runs off your farm is covered by the Clean Water Act, basically. Back to Brian.
Yeah, Senator, I was going to ask you, too, about the with the, your new chief of staff. Can you tell folks about that?
Yeah, he'll take over January the 1st, and he's presently the lead staffer on writing the criminal justice reform legislation that's on the Senate floor right now. He's a highly qualified legislative aide and lawyer, former speechwriter for George W. Bush, former employee of the Justice Department, in fact, taking a pay cut to come and work for my Judiciary Committee. And also, he was aide to judges in the D.C. Circuit. So he has broad background. He has not been in a leadership capacity, as far as I know, that he would be in my office. But I think he's pretty much a people's person and will do a good job of running our office. That was the last question, so I'm going to have to skip you, Terry.
That's quite all right. You have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to both Brian and Terry. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Brian and Terry, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.